Are you ready for the word this evening? You ready for the word? All right. Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus, we thank you this evening for another time of fellowship around the written word. Thank you for the revelation you always bring our way. We don't count it as a right. We see it as a privilege and access to your will and wisdom. We ask this evening that you give us insight into your insight, wisdom in your wisdom, and we believe and receive that there's no error, confusion, distraction, either on our heart or in this atmosphere, and together as a church, we believe Jesus Christ, your Son, even as he sees us in him, is glorified in here as we're edified alongside the body of Christ. Amen. We're still on prayer initiatives, and this might be just the last one in the series, but I believe that we'll take a good part of this prayer initiative. So what is an initiative? An initiative is something that you start, you begin. And something about maturity, and I've said that before, is that ability to take initiatives. I mean, I think I mentioned it, our parents would say, can't you do this yourself? You know, and one of the reasons why we choose people in leadership is that we don't have to tell them to do basic things. If, for example, if there's someone who says, come to church now, and I say, okay, and he says, Pastor, he starts a fellowship or a cell or a, does a pastor, am I supposed to teach? Are you supposed to pray? Who asks those kind of questions? Because immediately he's fixing prayer meetings, right? He's fixing outreaches because he knows what to do. So we said that it appears like the people in scripture just knew what to do. You know, and they just knew what to do. So prayer should be something that is an initiative. And of all we have said so far, now, you know, the new writer, this is almost the most important aspect of what I want to share. So take your time and listen very well. To take initiatives, like to initiate things on your own. And we said it goes beyond you are being called to pray. That's why if you're someone that you've grown, we are still growing anyway. And we have said that spiritual growth is reversible, right? Or you don't know? It is. You can become a carnal Christian. So it's reversible. You can become someone, I remember, you know, someone was actually telling me this. He said that, this is how he said it. Okay, let me say another one. I told someone, I said, are you the person? You. They are now bringing prophets to you. You that the word of the Lord was something we're looking for in your lips. You. That means you're backsliding. You know, and that's why we mustn't get used to cliche things. Believers don't backslide. And then you know you are backsliding. It's like living in delusions of grandeur. Like I like to say, it's like somebody playing Monopoly and thinking they're a millionaire. That's foolishness. You're not a millionaire. Say, I now have $100,000. I can buy the house with my 1 million. And you say, 1 million. You see, by wake up, your account is the same. But the monopoly is there. So you're living in an illusion. So you are backsliding. You know you are backsliding. So why are you saying you have not backsliding? You know you are backsliding. No matter how much you confess it, you are backsliding. So, you know, this is you. What can you hold you? You that tongue and interpretation like this, you have given words of knowledge around the place. You are not going to, they are now asking you to go and bathe with a sponge. What happened? At least we that knew you should be able to tell you that, oh boy, this is the glory of the former house. Forget about latter, there's no latter house here. Let's go and look for the glory of the former house. You know, you're backsliding now. And that's why you have to have good friends who can spot it. Don't marry somebody who cannot tell you, boss or sis, what's going on. Because every time you say it, it's almost like we're talking about the woman. Don't marry somebody and so you ignore everything, ignore doctrine, ignore local church, ignore mission, vision. And you are now hoping. You that you can't disciple someone, you are hoping that your husband will grow. How is it going to work? You can't disciple people. People that they don't see you often. You go to their house, they've locked the door. They've opened the door, they are not inside. You finally see them, they say, I'm not coming. You can't do that successfully. You now say it's your wife that you want to make grow. It can't happen. That's just the truth. If anybody tells you otherwise, forget it. Go ask people on their wedding day whether they can remember the sermon. That shows you what's going on. Guy remember who preached. Who cares? You all know the council of chairman at the reception. Who remembers? It shows you that there are two different wars going on. So, you have someone who can tell you, you don't talk, you don't know why I talk like this now. Why are you talking like this? Who can caution you, you know? I mean, if you have friends, I told some folks, I said, look, we can't in the name of talking, because we gist and we, joke. We can't be talking fear unconsciously. And we're talking, said no. Say, I told someone close to me, I said, you can change what you're saying. And rather than say what is negative, put the caution in faith. That's friendship. I mean, can't someone angle around me. And I told someone, I said, look, if you continue talking like this, I won't have you around me again. I don't have people around me talking fear. I don't like it. I don't want it. I don't like it. it's not something that I joke with. Don't talk fear around me. Don't talk anxiety. I'm full of expectation. I'm full of faith. I'm full of hope. That's who I am. If I'm not, I won't be here today. So you should have people that can remind you that, boss, what's going on? That every month, I know you normally will go out to pray, you take a night, what's going on? Those are friends that can keep you, stirred up. Because you're a function of relationships. Oftentimes when people are backsliding, there's someone they are not seeing. Someone say, I didn't know a Christian can backslide. Someone said to me, was it last year? I said, I've never seen it on Living World Media. I said, there's a title like that. He said, Living World Media, I said, is this not the person that preached there? I said, you've not sat well. You're starting for something. I said, backsliding is on Living World Media. Backsliding. I don't know if you listened to me before. You've not searched. How long have you listened to the teaching backsliding before? Is there? You are going for seated and high. When you are low. it's not, for example, somebody who has a day can take vitamin C. It's not seated and high you need. Is that backsliding? your prayer life. The remaining power left was not even with Judas. Power left in your Christian life. And you're listening to what happened in the Garden of Eden. Garden is far from you now. Garden. You're not even near the fence of the garden. Oh boy, go and listen to the one you need. You are deceiving yourself. You must get the one you really need. Do you understand? Is that what you need? You are taking back. You are applying the wrong thing. Because your intention must be to do the work. So, we're looking at, again, taking prayer initiatives. And this is growth. That is not until someone leads prayer. Of course, you should be there when they lead prayer, but it's not until someone leads prayer. You are leading the initiative to pray on your own. And something about it is that eventually you will affect other people. Okay, now let's see a couple of things. Look at Ezra 7:10. That's my first text today. Ezra, and I'm saying this really for many of us who lead prayer, because you can have the feeling that because you lead prayer, you pray. No. Ezra is just before Nehemiah. Now this is a court text. And Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord. Look at the emphasis. Are you there? To do it. And to teach in Israel things and judgment. To do it. So, he has on his heart to do and teach. Like I was saying, someone, I said, with your experience, even your perception of God's word will be wiser and wider. Okay? So, which means that I must place doing the word before teaching the word, and when I'm teaching the word, I still have the intention to do what I'm teaching. So, it's good to lead people to pray. It's good to teach people to pray. But in your private life, ensure that you are leading prayer, or you are taking the initiative to pray. So I need to say this is something that you start. There are things people say, that you pioneer, you know. And that's leading. I mean, I've had the course to lead non-Christian organizations and maybe a group, and they say, oh. I said, who did this one? They said, it's Ononoika who actually... So there are things like that. It's Ononoika was the one who said, Ononoika was the one... Well, I knew I was going to be a prefect. Did I know it? I just believed I was going to be. So I sat down with somebody in the room. We're not prefect. We had prefects ahead. They had two more times. And we drew the plan. It was in duplex, Greyer House. And we drew the person I saw him last week, 2 weeks ago. And we sat down and I said, when we become prefect. I was not made a prefect. I said, when we become prefect. I said, this is what we're going to do. I had already mapped out how we're going to do the houses, the house where I said the change we're going to make. I was there. I said, we're going to do this. It became the head of school. That is, you use that boy. God bless you. You know, we are very distinct. We don't use stuff like that. You know, so it became, so I sat him down and said, we're going to do this. We're going to do that. We're going to do this. So the moment, you know, our names were called, you know that, they call your name, they don't give you badge for one time. They do that, okay, they don't give you badge. So, as we sat that day, everybody was like, congratulations. I said, guys, see that, this is what we're doing. Such that, at some point, people thought I was the deputy head of school, and I was not. This is what we're going to do. We're going to do this. When they didn't give us badge, by the time we got to SS3 and the first 2-3 weeks, I was the one that left, guys, why do you have badge? Say, let's go. I left to the vice principal's house. I said, what's up? He said, we need badge. The man said, principal is not feeling fine. And they are not even talking about you. Principal's health. I said, we didn't know. Apart from that, separate that from this issue. When the man met me, let's do camp meeting. He said, who doesn't know you? Because I let him, I said, we're going to do this. This is what we're going to do. Take initiative. I've never been part of who sit down and criticize the government and then do nothing or criticize the system. Or not, then we just sit down and say, we're waiting for what we're going to do. So when they now do, we now sit down and analyze what people are doing. And did they do it well? I'm not in that group at all. What are we going to do? Ask those in leadership what I normally ask them. Every time they say, okay, Pastor, I say, so what do we do? Because before you come up to me, you should have thought about the solution. Are you here? There are people that are critical. Put them in leadership. They won't do anything. They'll just be looking. They say, this is real. There was someone like, hey, church. I said, then we used to dub tapes. I think it was Believers Convention. And the best thing was, so we are doing it like Faith Plaza. So Pastor, I used to go, you go to one place in the cage, like that. What's the name of that place? Okay. Something communication. Can you remember that place? Highway. So the pastor, he will go there and he will go and dub overnight. So when he came back, of course, you know how it is. Some people had booked, they didn't get. Some people got that they are not booked. That's the nature of brethren. So and then this sister just said, I booked this for 3 months. And he was, ayo. So as you know, some brethren, they don't know where not to shout. And some brethren, he's in church, he's in church. How do you want to make him? Where are you? Somebody maybe you say, good morning. I'm greeting you. Good morning. In church. If you can do that here, whatever you do in the world, the blood of Jesus is enough. In church. There's something called have shame. Brethren are there. Brethren are there. And I say, I don't care. Brethren are there. Tall. So this is how this is. So I know. You know, I just walked past and I said, what's going on? And he said, I'm sorry, sir. Because this I went to record it. I said, No. Get her tapes now. She was like, yes. So the body tapes, I gave her. So she collects the tapes, she counted the tapes. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, good. So I said, ah, don't go here. You know, I taught you that it's not he that sees a need that is blessed, but he that meets the need. That shows you there is a need in this department. For you not to have gone for 3 months, that means more than one person should go and be doing what he just did. So you will now join this department. That was the last time she criticized WT. Because you will see how it looks like. Have you discovered that when people are talking about leadership, put them as a cell leader. A leader must come and do it. Come and do it. You know, that's your privacy. They will remove the private, you made it see. Everybody will be seeing it. He did one business. The business went bad, and he said, "Look, this is easy. As a child of God, should you not know? You will be led by the Spirit." So when he told me that he's going to start his own business somewhere, I said, "Watch him." Say, "I'm going to do ice cream business." When I said the ice cream, said in 3 months I'll break even. 6 months, I said, "Yeah." This was 20 years ago. The cream did not even show up on the ice. ice on one side, cream on the other. That's the name of prayer. I was just saying, prayer is the outflow of the ice. Come on, pray. What is that pray? You discover that you can't speak English again. If you like phone, when you get to prayer, the phone will just go, pim. You'll be listening to yourself blowing gun in prayer. That's how you know that God is a spirit. You'll be blowing gun. No, FPC. You know, I know God hears me. So it's to do. Amen. You don't just teach, it's to do. You take that initiative. In these seasons that we're in, we expect that on your own, you do a fast. On your own, you do a vision. On your own. I thank God for your leaders who say, "Let's go and do this." Yeah. But there's the, "Shall go do this." Part of your life. And you always need that. Particularly, you know, when, you know, maybe your job takes you somewhere. And, you know, and those are things that will happen. And it now requires you to take initiatives. Like I said also to you, I said, look, why not look at life's problems like this? The life's problems, I test of your faith, your character, and your conviction, such that when you come through them, it becomes the grace of God for someone. That's kind of, there's a perception. You know, you can have another perception. So we said that there are 3 ways to see initiative. So there's one, which is the written word, where, because it is written, pray always. You can, prayer is a constant. It's not a variable. You pray. Okay? I will say that. The second one we said is the leading of the Spirit, which is critical. We said that as a leader, let me say this to all of you who are pastors and leaders. See, your leadership is spiritual. You know, it's spiritual. It's supernatural. You know, supernatural leadership, which means that you are led by God's Spirit. Leading of God's Spirit in your life is now not just about you, it's also about people's lives. So you give yourself to that. Now today we want to look at, we said you must do it by precept and by example. Now, we said the third one. I initially called it another, but I've expanded it. Is prayer by request, Where, and I said, it also includes prayer inspired by challenges. Alright? Inspired by challenges. By tests. So prayer by request, inspired by challenges and tests. Okay? So the prayer by request. That is, this is not, it's not like, it's also in the written word, of course. It's not like you saw something in the spirit. But you are mature enough to know this requires prayer. Let's see a few things, you know. Look at Abraham. And Genesis 18. And you had
I'm just going to give you the text. You settle that, you know. From about verse 18 through to verse 33. The background is that there's fallen in Sodom and Gomorrah, Sodom majorly. And God says, can I hide this thing that I want to do from my friend or my servant, Abraham? And then he says to Abraham, there is a problem. Now, let's look at that. It's an interesting thing that God wants Abraham to talk to God about Sodom. And how does he get Abraham to talk to God about Sodom? He shows Abraham the problem. So that is prayer by request. That is, there is a problem. I know, and I'm saying this to some of us who are in the secular world, we are all in the secular world, sorry, I take that back, who are so engrossed. They'll get to a point in your life where if you're a lawyer, if you're a doctor, if you're an analyst, if you're a tech expert, if you're an engineer, if you're a teacher, if you're an educationist, if you're a politician, whatever, you get to a point where you are used to problem solving in a particular way. Well, yeah, so have you told, you know, and that's your method. Now, unconsciously, you can get used to solving every problem like that. Such that you don't even know when an issue is spiritual. You know, there's this thing that people talk about Nigeria and they'll say, forget about prayer. And people can be very careless. Say, we've been praying. We've been praying. And you say, and people say, we've been praying. They're not praying, no. Say, we've been praying. We've been praying. You. When last did you pray? We prayed and prayed. You. Those who pray, don't say it. We've been praying. We've been praying. You. Have you even prayed for yourself? Even your cat prays more than you. Those who have cats. They ask more than you do. They pray, pray, pray. And you get so, it could be logical. If you're a doctor, someone says, hey, get this, okay, you know, and that's really your style. You know, and you could just get so, okay, you nurse, get this one. And you know, that's the way you solve problems. This is what, you call your accountant, you go, you know, and it's logical because that's natural. If you're not careful in ministry or as a believer, that's how you'll be solving problems. So here is Abraham. He gets to know there is a problem. Now, let's assume, you know that it's so important that I want you to observe something. That the solution wasn't to go and preach to them. That's funny, right? It wasn't to go and preach. The solution also was not to send someone to preach, even though there was Lot there who was preaching. The solution also was not to criticize them. You know, there are sometimes that they just say, ah, you know, there's this church, this one, they are not this one, there's this place, and there are full people out there, drug addicts, and there's even a church there. And I say, what? The next thing, just get on the pulpit, praise brethren, they are spoiling and soiling the church of God. And you didn't know that information was a prayer request. So you begin to do exegesis on the concept of amataya. The amataya is to miss the mark. They miss the mark. And you are the mark. So it was a prayer request. And you find Abraham, you know, he began to, what we now call in New Testament words, supplication. He began to ask, Lord, peradventure, if you can find 50, then he moved from 50. They went on and on, you know, till, you know, he got, said, oh, don't be angry, you know, if I find 30, if I find 10, and he stopped that there in verse 32. But the point was, he was prayerfully, you know, in that supplication, that concern was prayer. He was finding the solution in prayer. You know, and that thing can get to all of us. I think that the next thing is the word. We must preach the word. We must get the word out. We must, you know, preach the word. And you find a lot of people there. It says, not going to say a lot, but a good number of people. They say, no. Let's just get the word out. And they think that the solution is just get the word out. So that people will just know. And the thing here is that it was first of all to make supplication. That was what Abraham was doing. I'll take one more from Genesis. Genesis 32. Where you have Jacob, we've been here, we had a series on this already, and in verse 24, he wrestled the man with him unto the breaking of the day. Then, of course, 28 says, the prince had power with God and with men, and he hath prevailed. So, again, we'll see this in a bit of detail, a period of anxiety, a period of almost not knowing what was going to happen. You know what he did? He stood in a place of prayer. And that is where we have the word supplication. Hosea 12. I know we'll be here just to remind you. Hosea 12 shows us that what did he do in verse 4? He had power over an angel and prevailed. He made supplication. He made supplication. So he saw that he needed help. A supernatural assistance. Oh, let me get my father to talk to Esau. Let me get my uncle. You know, that could be just one of the things. But he saw it beyond that. He saw his role, his priestly duty, and all of that. So, you find that it was a prayer request. So, there are sometimes, guys, prayer requests will be hidden in life's circumstances. In life's circumstances. Now, let me share something. Remove your Christian life and your knowledge from experience. You know, it's nothing. So your Christian life is proven in experience. Living of the Spirit of God is tested in everyday activity. Right? Following God's plan for your life is tested in different things. You know, it's today, if you look at your life, today you look back and say, that was God's leading, you know, and you picture those things after different experiences. The same thing, you know, with the subject of prayer. We had Moses also in Exodus 32 and 33, and God says he was going to wipe out the nation of Israel. Moses said, no, kill me first. And Moses began to speak. You know, so these are instances where a seeming problematic situation creates a prayer point. Now, let me say this. This is me saying this to you. And if you have been a Christian for the number of days, mine is very few. I'm sure many of you probably are longer. Almost there's nothing that deepens your prayer life like challenges. Go and find out. There's nothing that deepens your prayer life. There was someone like that that had this problem with her marriage. The problem is, that problem needed another marriage. It was a big problem. So I knew that the marriage was going to end. I knew it by revelation. It wasn't, and I didn't want to tell her. If I told her, she would cry. And I don't like people crying. You know, generally. Even children. Doesn't mean that your crying will solve any problem. So he said, who's crying? I just said, why not take time to pray? I knew that with this problem, this person will pray more. So I said, okay. You know, after the whole marriage packed up and all that, person said, I just discovered something that as she began to pray, she was no longer just praying about the marriage. That's how she restored her ministry and a couple of things. I said, yes. It looked like there was a problem, but he deepened your prayer life. And that's what it is. Charles Spurgeon said something one time, and it looked uncomfortable for a lot of folks. He said that always be thankful for the thorns and thistles that come into your life that keep you away from loving the world. Because you're taking away from loving the world. And it's just sometimes those challenges are to remove you from love of the world. And you say no. And they deepen your prayer life. If I look at, thank God for the times I went for prayer meetings, and you know, and I was led to pray. But if I look at things that now accelerated my prayer life, and I'm still growing, and go, you just found something like, this one. Oh boy, it's prayer. You sat down and there was no solution. Some of us, you can think you are very intelligent. You just think through, say, this one, do. But the guy who are coming to you, and then you give the answers quickly. The guy will say, that is, the orator has lost words. The wise man doesn't have wisdom again. He just say, what's going on here? You know, and if you're not careful, if you think you're a very smart person, you find your way around. You know, is that smartness? that will finish you. Yogi Joe says that the Holy Spirit does not deal with smart persons because they are too smart for him. So you get to the point you say this is nothing but prayer. And, you know, almost nothing deepens your prayer life like this. So which means that when those things come, you are sensible enough to initiate prayer. So let's first of all deal. So I said here, I said, challenges need prayer, not complaining. Everybody wants a church that is filled with people that are all full of the word. I mean, if you ask every pastor now, they will say they just need members who are always doing the word of God, who are always, and I told pastors one time, I said, are you always doing the word of God? Who are always doing the word of God, who are just, you know, they come to church on time, you know, prayer group is 5 o'clock, they are there by 4. Prayer group ends by 9, they continue to 11. You know, everybody likes a member like that. You know, he's coming for fellowship, he brings 60 people. You know, and he says, Pastor, let me go and bring another 60 people. You know, you like a member like that. And the person does not have problems, doesn't have any habits, he's walking in God's word about, you know, always has his needs met, his bills are paid, if I overpaid, you know, doesn't fall sick, doesn't do, he's just in spirit, he's in Christ, he's seated on high, everything is working, you know, in his finances is fine, in his job is just having promotion, no challenges, no, you just want a church like that, that just come and teach, hallelujah. The world is our reality. Everybody loves that, but it's never going to happen. You say, you are saying yourself, say we'll reach the world. You know what's in the world? You cover the earth. This earth? Go and watch the news and see what you're covering. So, and people will come in with they'll just have eternal life in the spirit. But other lives are outside. Just like you. And so, you know, the person will just say, sir, some people will leave you like these members. These ones are very honest. They will tell you their problems. And you know, the way I was trained, Uncle, I didn't say, you must never frown when people are telling you your problems. Just be smiling. You know, I found that very difficult. Because he said, don't say, when you say, they won't say the rest. Oh. He told me when I was, so I'll be saying, I remember, So, the way I used to do the I just go, oh. When I was younger. You know, I say, and the person leaves like this, and he say, hey! Hey! You are being called to the prayer room. That's how God is calling you to pray. God wants you to have problems. Like that. So that you can pray. Imagine I've been taught everyone. And Jesus now said to Peter. Peter said, so we're going to do the crusade. So he said, come. Satan has desired to sit you like Peter. Peter is making mouth. He says, so I know you are a master of us. Me? Me and the devil were lost. He said, but I prayed for you. That your faith is not faith. He knew he was going to mess up. Imagine. Say, when you are converted, strengthen the brethren. Peter is saying, Pastor, if everybody. I don't have people like that. They will give testimonies on social media. I'm a life that is changed. If nobody, I'm part of a million ministers. In fact, I've counted it. I'm number so and so. Jesus said, I told someone something, I said, sit down here. The person was trying to explain, I said, sit down. I said, when you were in sin, going from party to nightclub, me, I've been going from house to house preaching the gospel. When we're talking about Jesus, when I'm talking, you shut up. When you were living in sin, drinking, and going around, you know, I said, we're looking for people like you all over the place. So we're talking Jesus. Okay, sir. Hey, let's start talking. Before I told you, I said, the person had been talking about his plans. Pastor Lance, you know this person. About his plans. And, you know, there's where I am. It's where I don't have your time. I'll just be watching you. Had listened to his plans. Say, I'm going to do something with this for 6 months or 7 months. About 8 months. I just woke him up one night. I said, sit down. I said, from now henceforth, I'll be doing the talking, you'll be doing the listening, and the doing. Is that clear? He said, yes. I said, oh, you are telling me. Throw them away. He said, yes, sir. He was telling me how he was going to do this one. Maybe go and meet Bill Gates or something. Or maybe. And he has not passed jump. He said he's going to go and talk to, what's the guy that owns Apple? Jobs. I said, oh boy. I said, you are going to do jump. And you start with jump blessing. He said, sir. I said, I will do the talking. You will do the listening. Say yes. I want him for my, I don't want him. You tell me those things, I say, yes. You know, I have to know I'm dealing with. So I postpone my business 8 months. Let me enjoy them for 8 months. So I say, okay, over, sit down. I say, yes, so, jam, the one, I say, go and take jam. I say, yeah, I say, yes. Is that my other level? And the man is doing well today. He graduated. I say, yes, that's it. I'm doing the talking. They didn't listen. Okay? Say yes, sir. So I'll just say, go. You will go. I've been listening to you for 8 months. There's nothing you are saying. You know? So, why did I get here? So you have these people, you look at these challenges. You think you want everything to be smooth? That you know, as a Christian, you know, you don't have decisions to make. Every decision you are making, like you get the answer before the decision. Everything like is just moving. Your body is already glorified. There's no pain. There's no sin. You are just, everything is just. How is that ever going to happen? It's not going to happen. That is why we trust in the power of God. And we show it when we pray. So which means, if I'm trusting in the power of God, in life situations and circumstances, that means when life situations and circumstances come, they demand for the power of God. They initiate my prayer life. Are you here? So, when I'm not initiating prayer, let me tell you what I can initiate very easily. I can initiate gossip. Oh, someone in your fellowship has a problem. Financial, spiritual, whatever. Family, job, ministry, sin. And you don't see it. As a, you can say, Boyinka, we have to pray for, you just want to spread God. We have to pray for so and so, Boyinka. It's something we have to pray about, too. When I tell you, you know we need to pray. You know, people like that, that's what they do with their lives. You know, you just have to gossip. You just have to gossip. So, rather than have an initiative to pray, we can initiate gossip. You can also murmur. And murmuring is very interesting. It's just a silent talk where you may not even raise your voice. You are complaining. Some people think that they are preaching, but they are complaining. Look at the body of Christ! Is this a church that can't get more? Baby, let me not put off! This is not the God of Christ. I don't understand. Who's the God? Look at our country. Look at our nation. They are really complaining, you know. But just speaking in tongues after. Yeah. You just like complaining. You have your children. Your children do something. And from morning till night. And you just be raising your voice. You these children. You will not kill me. God gave you to me. You will not kill me. You are complaining with style. Hey! Hey! Your husband. Hey! Your wife. Hey! Just complaining. And you are murmuring. I don't know. There's one brother like that. Here, in the 90s. Was one of my earliest disciples. We gave him a name after a while. He said, answers by murmuring. It was you to say, how are you? Fine. It was just you to say, So he said, Bishop, well, I gave him Bishop later. He said, Bishop, can't you talk normally? He said, went there and said, even your rejoicing has murmuring. It was like 1994. You know? Oh, oh, oh. You don't like to murmur. Some people like to complain. You know, if you are not, for this generation of social media, the way some people do influencing is just by complaining. Everything is bad. Everything is really bad. Is this the kind of country? Is this even a country? Is this life? So they just, and you know that's how to trend. Just look for bad news. You do trend. Woo, 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 woo. Go and look at newspapers. Good news. They are in the middle. Because you know, if they say, so, you always say, six, you know, hey, six babies ran mad yesterday. Hey, wait. I've said it. These doctors, you know, they will say, he's not doctor, he's not this. No, not this. He's in the government. He's not the government. He's the mother. He's not, You don't like to complain. That's how people trend. You just say something. And they're just abusing people. You know, but if you are, I mean, someone was saying that, someone put out an article, and they were saying, and nobody said anything. You just say, oh, good. So if you just, people that know you, just say, thank you, good, you know. But as soon as the person said something terrible, that in less than 1 hour, 1,000 were making their comment. Look out. What happened in Israel? Have you noticed that when they are in one accord, they are murmuring? Oh, the left did you say, oh, Moses, when they got to the sea, Moses, wow, we cannot cross this sea, oh, they are coming, oh. So I say, I check my Google map, they are 6 kilometers away. So I say, I check this out. The way I'm looking at it, I think the other, Moses said, stand still. And, you know, Let's just wait for the Lord. Hey, with adventure, you know. And when they go to Kadesh again, said, go and bring good report. When the person said, it's a land for weak and not, we didn't hear glory. They said, what God said, we saw it. We didn't hear, woo! Nobody said anything. But as soon as they said, we are not as strong, they are mightier. Have you ever seen, go and read Numbers 13 to 14 very well. Overnight, a whole nation was murmuring. Overnight. That is, it was not the second day, overnight. Numbers 14:1. So, people murmured all night. Everyone, young and old. And so, even a baby in Christ, you say, Mommy, you mean we are going to die here? my son! It's Pastor Moses, oh!
Pastor Moses, that man of God?
Yeah! Everybody is just cool to complain. You have to complain. God gave you his word. And you saw a problem. Why can't you talk to him? Everyone just murmured. Go and look at the life was just the four gospels. Murmuring. Something constant with the Pharisees. They will always be complaining. They will find, and you know, complaining is finding fault. You know, they say they are giants. We say they are giants. What did Caleb and Joshua say? We are able. God is able. You know, it's a time to release your confession. It's a time to say no. It's a time to raise your voice and start to pray. It's time to raise your hands. You know, that's the time you ought to sing songs like, He's Seated on High. Songs that say, we're walking in the supernatural. It's not for singing in church. And it's when things are tough. But they forgot all the songs. In fact, they forgot the testimonies they had at the Exodus. So you can just get into murmuring. And there's no murmuring that comes with the package murmuring. It comes with legitimate complaints. You have worry. So what does that mean that? So it means that. You just, anxiety. Anxiety. I love one definition of anxiety. It means you are torn by different things. Your attention is divided. Anxiety. Fear. The presence of fear. So you have gossip. That's about others. Murmuring, complaining. Worry. Fear. So, All those things are also initiatives. You initiated them. Someone's fear does not become your own until you claim it. You initiated it. You initiated the worry. You know, I'm telling you, there are some believers, if we can just lay hands on them so that they can sleep. You say, sleep in Jesus' name. You say, in Jesus' name, let divine sleep come. I could not sleep. Why? So what now? What did you solve by not sleeping?
I don't know. I just want now that. Now that the landlord has said we should move tomorrow morning. Ah, where are we going to go? Because my uncle said I should not come near his house. And I'm looking at my things. Where am I going to move them? Pastor was not allowed to move to church. What am I going to do? You know. And they will say every other thing, but the solution. What are you going to do?
They had this challenge in ministry, and they had a heavy death burden in their TV ministry. So Gloria Copeland, the husband, Gloria Copeland is 80, so that's how we call her sister, Gloria, Mama Gloria. But the Copeland now said, he was not complaining. She just looked at him, and she laid hands on him. She said, Satan, leave him alone! She just dragged him. She said, we have a prayer cabin. That's what we are used to. So they went to the prayer cabin. So then I said, only let's just take some time out. Maldives. Let's just go and, you know, for people, Instagram is ruling their life and TikTok. Say, let's just, you know, I just think that the stress of this city alone, you know. Anyways, it's one of a kind. Just went to the prayer cabin. And they stayed there 2 weeks. It's not your honeymoon, no. Just God, there's no honey. He just went there to pray. And two Brother Hagin's books, How to Write a Ticket with God, You Can Have What You See. And he said, these are things we know. We are going to pray. That's what we are going to do. We know these things. We've seen these results before. We've seen these things. Of course, it may not be the same issue, but we've seen this before. And that's why we have testimonies. That's why we're able to be strong. So let's go. So when you find yourself in this situation, I just feel you worry. It could be anything. It could be academics. It could be business. It could be anything. I'm not asking you not to be logical with your business and say, he says you go and read. And the things are much. You say, we'll pray. That's not what we're talking about. As opposed to go and buy and sell. I won't go and buy. He said, let me just pray. That's not what we're saying. In the midst of your activities, you raise your voice and you are praying. Because worry is not an option. Fear is not an option. Gossip is not an option. Murmuring is not an option. So the number 5 I said here, when you don't pray, you backslide. Backslide is very simple. It means you will stop doing the right things that you know and you'll be doing the wrong things that you knew. Just backslide. I told someone, I said, this fellow just said, he just put a tattoo around his neck. I said, is this tattoo a proof of growth? He said, no, I just feel like doing it. I said, when did you start doing what you felt like doing? You were never like that. I said, no. I said, oh boy, you are back reading. He said, I said, you are judging me. I said, yes. I'm judging you now. What do you think I was doing? I'm not your lawyer. I'm judging you. How can you go and the tattoo did not come with you from the world. You got born again without tattoo. There was no tattoo in the temple when the temple was made the temple of the Holy Ghost. When you were crossing from the temple of the temple of the Holy Ghost, it was without tattoo. You now became temple of the Holy Ghost, now put tattoo. What's the point? Is it to make it holy? He said, no. I said, look. You don't have to create this. You back. Like Nobu who said those days, he said, there's nobody that will be so deep in prayer and you are full of souls. And then the next thing you are thinking is you want to go and do a ring. He said, it won't come to your head. Say, how would you? Say, you can't even call. You are busy with prayer bodies, you are doing this, and you are even looking for money. You know, say, the next thing your mind is going to put nose ring. It won't happen. And you are talking, not here, don't look at me. But is that Christianity? It is Christianity. Is it Christianity? It is Christianity! Amen? About Friday, that's your prayer life. When I was in the house of living souls, all God didn't worship. When I saw the way it was, is everything. I think I can pray. The house didn't work. What's this house? I said, the voice is too smooth for prayer. So I told them, I said, on Saturday we are praying some to tell That week, people's uncles died. People's grandma. The two people did not come. I knew they would not come. When I saw the way the air was and air, I said, this one cannot come for prayer meeting. I said, come and pray. They run away. So they knew that I didn't remove them because of, you know, if I said I removed you because of the hair, they say I'm legalistic. So, when I use prayer, I knew. It's not for somebody. I said, I don't need to pray myself. I said, no sitting up. Hey, Jesus. You know, when you know there's tongues, when you say, you are thinking the tongues. And your learned tell me, the unbeliever, they don't know. You are not the unbeliever. You yourself, you don't even believe you are speaking the tongues. So I just told my music team, the choir, they were coming. Choir, I just told the choir. I just told the new leader, everybody said, you can't pray, you can't leave. So the guys used to shout, just said in the congregation. If you know those kind of people, by the time we are singing, they will not be raising their voice specially. So you know, they can sing, oh, sure. Jesus, they go, Jesus, oh, you are here. This was 24 years ago. You are not here. Be singing with the body of Christ. You shall be. You know, you are fasting. Deep in prayer, you are carrying, and you know things you are facing, challenges you are praying through. You won't have time for nonsense. How about sliding? So, John Wesley said, God will do nothing except we ask Him. You have to love prayer. You have to love prayer. Because this life is full of challenges, tests and trials. 1 Corinthians 10:13 said there is no temptation that is not common. James 1. Look at James 1. Brethren, it says, count it all joy when you come against tests and trials. But look at the solution. Verse 5. If any lack wisdom, let him ask. So, tests and trials come just to joy, glory, glory. Say, you will not ask. So there's prayer in the midst of it. So, you have to love prayer. Except you have given heed to temptation. Say, pray that you will not enter into it. That's what Jesus said. Pray that you will not enter into it. Because it will come. So what some people have done, rather than pray, they will just adjust with temptation. And the temptation, they will fall inside it and it now become their life. Temptation. You start seeing yourself, why am I falling in love with this kind of person? What's going on? Why am I? Go and pray. Don't say, I need a relationship tip. There's no tip. It's tipper. You already know you have to pray. Do you get it? There is no alternative to prayer. Thinking is not it. Planning is not it. As you are thinking, and you, because you have to think and plan in life. As you are thinking and planning, you are also praying. You are taking care of your kids. You know, Pastor, I've not been able to come to church. Because this is first 3 months of my child. You are a nursing mother. You have to do this. But if you live your prayer life, to take care of children, and not taking care of children as you are praying, the children will almost curse you. As you are doing it, the prayer life must never go down. Did you hear what I just said? Never. Because life is full of tests and trials and challenges. And when they come, They are meant to initiate prayer. Paul will say, pray for us. Why would a man with so much insight in scripture, Ephesians 6:19, say, pray for me. You know, if someone, you know, look at this. If Pastor Larry, for example, or Brother Tunde, if I say pray for me, that's very private. And that could be so. But for him to say to the whole church, that means we must take it seriously. Say, pray for me so that the gospel I'm preaching, I will say it boldly. If there was no need, he would say it. In Colossians 4:3 again, said the door of utterance. Pray for me. In 1 Thessalonians 5:25, say pray for us. 2 Thessalonians 3:1, that the word of the Lord may have a free course and be glorified as it is with you. Said, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. He's not making, I told someone else, I said, you just say, I'm delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. It's not a confession. Paul said, pray. And it means that there is a supplication to that effect, where a man is making tremendous power available. Look at Acts of the Apostles chapter 4. Look at every instance. Let's even start from Acts 1. Jesus gave them a commission. I've said it here. They did not have to be told that when you are giving ministry work, guys, look around what I say. Any ministry assignment, including writing, publication, security, technical, sound, power, what else we have? Living Word Media, ushering, is a prayer request. Anything that is involved in the work of the gospel is a prayer request. Anything. Anything. Is a prayer request. Don't say, I don't have to pray like Satan you pray. Since my own job is just to sort out the cars at the car park. You are being deluded. Anything that is there for the purpose of the enhancement of the gospel of Jesus Christ, which can suffice, or let's say appear, like what is in the natural, requires prayer. There's a department in church. You guys just meet every week, sort out before service, and that's what you do. You see? You are caught in trouble. You must have times where you pray. Times when and where you pray. So, you have the right, I'm saying it, to ask your HOD, brother, so-and-so, we have not been praying, sir. Sister, so-and-so, we have not been praying. We have just been planning. We have just been singing. We have just been setting up. We should be praying. Anything. So they started praying. They were praying. You know, the thing about prayer, Acts 1:14, say they continued in prayer. There was, it's not that they just knew that the fact that you are told to go into all the world is a challenge. Never in your life, as a minister, should you be satisfied with any result. I'll tell them in Benin. I said, you know, we had this meeting and the whole place was jam-packed till outside. And I said, you know something? Don't look around and say, wow, what a meeting. I said, God said till the end. So every result is a seed for another one. Use 1 minute. Pray for yourself. Anything that brings complacency in your Christian walk that makes you feel it is done, pray it out of your life. Anything that makes you think you have done enough. I have done enough. I have prayed enough. I have preached enough. Take that time and pray it out of your life.
that is reducing your hours of prayer. I have preached enough. I have healed the sick enough. Anything out of your like, out, that makes you comfortable with what you are seeing in your Christian life. Hallelujah. Before you sit down, say, I want more. Sit down. So, they knew what to do. When it came to, Jesus did not tell them who to choose. But they knew they had to pray. On the day of Pentecost, they were praying. That's how you knew that he taught them the importance of prayer. They were praying, and they saw him pray. They saw Jesus pray so much, they knew you can't carry out this task without prayer. And when they got 3,000, you know, they said, wow! Do you know that the entire ministry of Jesus never at any time had 3,000 disciples? Not at any time. Do you know they got it? And they say, we have the glory of the latter house. No. What did they do after? They continued in prayer. Acts 3, 1. They went to the temple in the hour of prayer. Now, let's see. They now got another 5,000. Look at the results. Then they threatened them. They should not preach any longer in the name of Jesus. Acts 4, 18. They went back and reported to their company all that. It's good to have a good company. Some people have just said, bro, you got, I said it. It's the way you are preaching. It's the way you are saying it. They will have said, Pastor Fouquet, you know, there's an approach. You know, sister, so, so and so. It's the way you went for that evangelism. I said it that day. Sister, sister, maybe it's the way you prayed that day. You know? Don't have people like that, though. They lifted up their voice. Look at that consistent word in the book of Acts. Until Acts 6. In one accord. That means they all were on the same page. They knew that when a problem comes, when we are challenged, your pastors are here. Anything, I said, let us go and pray. May we never lose the wonder of prayer. There's a wonder we must have. We are going to pray. We are going to pray. A wayward child, we are going to pray. A child, we are going to pray. A vaccinated disciple, we are going to pray. We are going to pray. And so when they said, do not preach again, they went to pray. When they asked Daniel not to pray, the answer was prayer. They went to pray. Said, behold their threatenings. Was he that first told me that thing? Because he's a friend of mine is late now. He said this was one day we were in his house. I think it was 94 or 3. Myself, Femi Oshisonya, and Femi Lubaji. I think Femi Lubaji was there. And he said, look at this text. He said, they didn't say stop their threatenings. He said, behold their threatenings. They knew that there's nothing God can do about human will and persecution. But grant to your servants with all boldness that they, I never saw this. So, which means the threats was a prayer point. The threats was an initiative to pray. When Paul and Silas were grabbed, and they went to jail. Silas, you know, if we had left quickly, you know, if we had. And it was that sermon. What if we did not heal? What if we did not do that? That guy is there, Pastor. You know, that guy you cast out devil. You should have not cast out the demon easily like that. You know, someone just analyze it. That, you know, I don't even think it was a demon she really had. I think we just overdid things. I heard that it's not a demon that she had. That she generally reacts like that. She talks like that normally. So I guess next time we'll be wiser. My uncle has called a lawyer. And you know, I know it's possible that the uncle really calls a lawyer and he gets you out. But you have lost something very major.
You have lost a major battle. You have lost a critical experience that should deepen your walk with God. You have used the arm of the flesh. And you get, something about that is that you will now get used to the arm of the flesh. It's time to pray. They began to pray. When there's a problem, you pray. It is a prayer request. So which means, I see God in the problem. I see Him in the challenge. See, I'm not asking you to be looking for trouble in the body of Christ, though. But you see, as a ministry, you have to become uncomfortable when there are no challenges. You have to become uncomfortable because it won't deepen your prayer life. You have to. I was telling some people in one meeting I went for 2 weeks ago. I said, look at you, 2 weeks ago. I said, some of you are always on social media and I like other people's ministries. I was two brothers in church, we went for that meeting. So I said, my phone is in my car. I said, I'm sure if I go back to my phone now, my own problems will be there. That will make me have vigils and prayer. See, if you are busy with your life's ministry, your ministry and your life, you don't know what anybody is preaching. The ones you have preached, you have not listened to it. You are even listening to what you are preaching, you are uncomfortable. Ah, I didn't say it well. You are now looking at someone else's life. Who is going to ask you to give account of someone else's ministry? Except people under your care. So when you don't have challenges, you are looking for other people. That means you are not having a prayer life. Or we don't gossip here. Ask your pastors. When we see there's a problem, all the people say in the body of Christ, a man of God, I tell them we are praying for this ministry. There's a particular church I told them, I called them, this ministry cannot go down. Remember? I said, this one, no. So we're going to do vigils. There was another time like that, there was a man of God like that, and I called 2 or 3, 4 of them, I said, look, there's this preacher. I heard this story about his health. I said, we are going to pray about it. And the person is back preaching now. In fact, it's not somebody we preach the same thing, we don't even agree on many things. But what betide you if you start thinking that people's problems is your message? You are an idiot. So let's go and pray. We are going to pray every year. We pray for other churches, right? Not just yearly, we do it every year. Let's just pray for ministries. Pray for them. Don't tell them to gossip. You'll not be using sermons to gossip. You'll be using style to gossip with teaching. Using style, you know, that's carnality. If you want to fight people, don't fight them with the gospel. Go and fight them personally, or even go and wear gloves. Right? And fight normally. So when you see, in Matthew 9, 36 and 37, you know, Jesus had seen. Watch what happened. He had healed the sick, he had taught the word, and he saw that people were fainted. That's not natural, though. He said he saw them as sheep, having no shepherd. Which means when you see that people are not well pastored, it's not to be writing series. Hey, you know, we need a church in the body of Christ. We need a local assembly. We need good pastor. We need good teaching. We need good... I know we do. He said, pray the Lord of the harvest. Is that it? So the compassion is not to write articles. The ones we have written, sir. How many people have acted on it? He said, pray the Lord of the harvest that he may send forth laborers. His harvest. The Amplified brought out that word like force out. Which means that our prayer will include making people uncomfortable who should be serving God. Your prayer will make people uncomfortable. They want to serve the Lord. He saw it. See life's problems? Our prayer requests. Challenges? Trials? Temptations are prayer requests. Pray for your family. Pray for your family. Your parents, your siblings, your children. One of your roles as a father, as a mother, is you are now a prayer partner with your children. Not a complainer. Complaining, grumbling. You think your job is just to be flogging children? And to be saying, sit down there. No! Your job includes to kneel down and begin to pray. Precisely those who are now born again. Pray for your friends. Pray for your friends. When your friends have problems, you pray. Your friends should always know your response is Shegun. We are going to pray about it. And not, it's not cliche. We are going to pray about it. Pray for your friends. Your friends have problems. Pray. Even if the problem is a result of not listening to your counsel, you still will pray. And let me say this. You know, many of you know this about me. That oftentimes people say, Pastor, so I say, let's talk about it later. Why do I say that? You know I can sit down and analyze things. I mean, I'm born to analyze. But I know many times you have to pray about something. So I give it room. Let's just pray. So that when I'm speaking out of the conversation I've had with the Father of Spirits. So don't be quick to want to get into a conversation. Let's pray about it. Pray for your friends. Pray. Pray. Pray for your enemies. Those who don't like you. There's someone like that, you know. The person has written so many terrible things about. So when he said this to me, he said, I know that there's someone praying for me, you are praying for me. He said, I know. I said, no problem. I have to pray for you. So by the time I gave him the cancer, he knew, and that cancer, by the grace of God, got him out of it. I said, thank God for you that came in that matter. Why? Why did I know what to say? Because I was praying for you. This was somebody that, you know, ridiculed me all over the place. What does it matter? It's a prayer point. Pray for the person. I say it to pastors. Members who give you problems, who even come against you, is a test of your love work. Is your love? I'm not saying you should be testing me. Thank you, Pastor. From tonight, you need to test my love work. I will test you back. Pray for your nation, right?
Yes, sir.
I love this country. You know, someone, a friend of mine said that. Someone was trying to do something and all that. He just said, you should go and listen to prayer and bodies. Bodies and prayer. The person came, a friend of mine, a pastor. He said, the person said, I know it's the word of God, but Pastor Shegun loves Nigeria too much. He said, just pray, pray. You know, I do love Nigeria. I got born again here. I have to love Nigeria. I'm not saying that other countries are not okay. They are, but I love Nigeria. And that's it. There was one guy like that. I was coming from abroad, so we were in the plane. His seat was beside mine. So by the time he sat on my own seat, he had put his charger in my own charging point. So I go, I said, I'm sorry. I said, no problem. I said, so he now moved. So I told him, I said, I'm going to use your charger later because I discovered my own. I didn't take the traveling charger. I said, oh, no problem. So along the line, he slept off. He really slept. So I now had to charge my phone. So I just took the charger, and I put it in there. So when he woke up, I actually woke him up after, I think, to eat or something. I just had this food. I didn't eat at all. I said, all right. So I said, Yeah, I said, it was so funny. I said, I was going to talk about it. He said, you have even used my charger. Nigerians. I said, am I Nigerians? He said, don't say that. That's not necessary. You didn't have to generalize Nigerians because of what I just did. And more so, I told you. I said, you don't have to bring your country down to correct a wrong. You don't have to do that. I said, we're just coming from a country that is badder. He said, should we get into conversation? He said, I know. I said, don't say you know. I said, but you don't have to bring down your country to correct the hills there. More so, charger. Nigerians. I have how many here? I have how many in the car? Charger. Ropu. Somebody beside now said, I love how you spell that. Let the person hear it. No. Don't rubbish Nigeria with me. You won't try it. Oh, come and say that. I said, what's in other countries? They are human beings, sinners. Pray for your nation. Not football game, oh. Pray for your leaders. 1 Timothy 2:1 says you pray for their salvation. Pray that we lead a peaceable life in all godliness. 1 Timothy 2:2. Have you prayed for your company? The company is having challenges. Say, ah. They say we will pay our salary. Ah. Deliver. Ah, our salary. Ah. That is our MD has gone about Abusa. You didn't get it. No, Abusa is our salary. Say, ah. Quickly. LinkedIn. Oh, God. Believer. I'm not asking you not to leave the company, but at least pray. They've blessed you now. When things were going fine, you even put their sticker on their official car. Say, where are you walking? You are now becoming a typical man. Believer. Opportunist. On your MD's birthday, MD, you know. You know, my career. The next year, COVID now happened. See, I don't know what's going on. I mean, yes, there's COVID, but the MD should have been prepared. You just see something on the church community WhatsApp. Vacancy. Quickly, you are knocking MD. I'm not asking you not to leave. But you know, you can leave and still pray for the stability of that place. And it will be fine with them. A Christian should know how to pray. Pray for your company. I know you are not the owner. No, you are not the owner. I'm not a director. I don't ask people. Just once I share, I just say, well, it shall be. If someone says something one day, say, I don't really pray for you. Someone related to me say, I just say, God, perfect all that concerns them. I say, ha, auntie, do you know what's concerning them? Somebody is saying, he said, perfect it in you. Perfect all that concerns them. You are praying for Argentina now, he says, perfect all that concerns them. So that's a good prayer point. Pray for your boss. What about praying for your boss? Pray for your boss. If you have ever run a company before, it's not easy. Managing director, directing other things. Pray. Pray for your pastor, okay? Pray for your church. Pray for your church every day. Your church faces challenges. If you are in leadership, you will know. Imagine the challenges you are facing over 2 disciples. In yourself. Imagine what your pastor is now facing. And you almost, you are driving, you are thinking, why would you do that? Last week we rejoiced together. Came back from believers and say, I've never had this experience in my life. What happened? That's just one person. Do you know how many of such things is going on in the head of your pastor? Pray. Pray for your church. Pray for your pastor. I used to tell your pastors, you have problems with your members. It's also my problem. You are also part of the problem I have. Because that's the thing. When I say problem, you know what I mean? Challenges. Somebody you are praying, project, who you are praying for. So pray. Pray for your church. When you are not praying, and when you are not initiating prayer, we said you'll be in worry. You'll be in anxiety. You start having lack of love for the Lord and the church. Carnality. Logic. You'll now be very logical. You won't be thinking supernaturally again. You'll be thinking the power of God. You'll not be thinking supernaturally. Your first response will not be the leading of the Spirit. It will just be logic. What are you doing with the problems around you? What are you doing with the challenges in Nigeria? What are you doing with the challenges in the city where you live, in the nation that you live? What are you doing with difficulties presenting itself in your business, in your career? What are you doing with raising children, your family, your friends? Are you seeing prayer requests or gossip or anxiety or worry?
James 5:16 says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available. I'm quoting the Amplified. Dynamic in its work. He said Elijah was a man of like passions. He prayed that it should not rain. And he prayed again. That's the key part there. That it should rain. He prayed again. Learn to take prayer initiatives. Someone told me the story of one of the daughters and said something really, really horrible. Said, we're going to pray. Said, when? I said, when, okay. I'm going to pray every day. Said, ah. And I said, so, I said, see, I'm not giving you a quick, not giving you magic wand. I'm just saying we're going to pray. And we started praying. Person bought the book, a book, one of our books, said, I should give it to the daughter. I said, yes. I said, but if you think it's just a matter of reading books, you have gotten it wrong. We're going to read book. We are also going to pray. Is that clear? There is no challenge. I love the Yoruba song. Kosagbara to dabiti Jesu. That's it. Kosagbara to dabiti Baba. Kosagbara to dabiti Jesu. Agbara, agbara, agbara to. So you should know power of God is why you pray. Life's challenges will come. They are prayer points. They are prayer requests. We confront. There are some we confront when we see them. There are some we confront before we see them. There are some we guard ourselves consistently before we see them. But whichever way, we have to learn to pray. Stand to your feet. Let's just pray in tongues for a few minutes. What is that thing looking like a challenge? Initiate prayer now.